TJ Sideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live here from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, you can interact with us tonight via our Facebook page for TJSlideways.com, also on Twitter at TJSlideways. A little bit later in the program, J.R. Stewart is going to join us to talk about the Big Sod NRA program up here at Crystal Motor Speedway, the Mike Ulrich Memorial. And then we're going to wrap up our Kings Royal coverage. A bunch of stuff left over we had from there to wrap up the 31st annual Kings Royal. But my first guest just released a book I literally have here on my lap. I got it a couple days ago. The People's Champ, Racing Life by Dave Darwin with Bones Boshier, who wrote the book and with Dave, and they released it Sunday at Kokomo Speedway. And Bones, I can't think of a better way to release a book than when the author goes out and basically sets fast time and wins the feature in his hometown racetrack. What a storybook way to release a story.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, it was an exciting day for Dave and his fans anyway, with the book coming out. You know, we had quite a line there waiting for him to sign for people. And then obviously the guy goes into the racetrack and, like you said, fast time and wins one of the most exciting features I've seen in a long time. I mean, he lost the lead twice and, you know, still gained it back. Started sixth, drove to the front right away, and then had a tremendous challenge from, Justin Grant. Like I said, got by him a couple of times, but, you know, it's like, you really couldn't beat that. I mean, to have, you know, the book come out and, you know, Dave's a favorite son there anyway, and to win a race that dramatically, it almost led to a second book signing in the pits after because, you know, obviously he had an enormous mob around his car, so it was a lot of fun.
And like I said, I was looking through your biography, and I've read the Tony Stewart book, and I'm in the middle of the Bentley Warren book right now, but you've done books on Bill Simpson, Richie Evans. You've done a lot of books on people whose careers have been, are by them or maybe no longer with us, Tony and Bentley being the exception of that. I don't think Bentley's ever going to retire. But with this, I mean, Dave's still very much, in the heat of things. And have you ever had an experience like that where you release the book or release the story like that and the guy goes out and does something like that? I can't imagine that's ever happened before.
No, I mean, you couldn't have written it any better. I mean, it was like it was scripted. And, you know, I think it felt that way for Dave and his family. You know, they're very much hometown people. I mean, he grew up maybe 25 miles from Kokomo, and it was the first or second place he ever raced. I mean, he started racing at a quarter midget track right there in town and then raced sprint cars at Warsaw and at Kokomo. So it was, you know, the Warsaw's long gone, and it's obviously his home track now. So it was just, a thrilling night, really, from start to finish. I think he had a smile on his face all night long because he's one of those people that's great with interacting with the fans. And, you know, he had that long line of people that were waiting to get their book signed, and, you know, he's just wonderful about spending time with each of them and smiling. So I think it was a good night for him, too, and it was a real enjoyable night for me just to watch it all take place.
When did things start kind of coming together where you wanted to do the book on Dave and you guys got together on doing this? When did it start formulating?
Well, we talked about it a couple of years back, and then, not that we were trying to make plans for it or anything. We just said, you know, maybe one day we'll get to this. And then the last couple of years, he's had such strong seasons. You know, you look at a guy that's 45, 46, 47, as the years are going by, you start looking at it like he's probably he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning, obviously, but he's still winning. He's very popular. And, you know, to me, that's a perfect time to do something like that. It's hard to time that. I mean, a lot of it is just luck. I mean, you know, we started doing the interviews toward the end of last season. Worked a lot through November, December, January, and through the rest of the winter. But, you know, we had no way to know that he was going to come out of the box strong and have another great year so far this year. So, you know, a lot of it is just luck. But, it just seemed like the time was right. You know, you kind of reach that point where a guy's popularity and his years, you know, where those two paths kind of make a crossroads. And, you know, that's the sweet spot to release something like a book. But it's just, you know, again, it's just a matter of timing, because if the guy came out of the box this year running, you know, 10th every week, I don't know that we'd have had such a big night Saturday.
And what's unique about this book, I thought, I've started diving into it. It comes with a format where the two chapters, there are two chapters in a row that are Dave's words, but then you have like guest stars coming in, guest writers. You have his siblings. You have Jeff Walker, who does a chapter. Galen Fox, Jack Hewitt, and other people. This is kind of interesting because you don't only not only do you get Dave's perspective on things, but a lot of the most influential people on his career contributed to the book.
Yeah, one of my thoughts is, you know, with a guy like Dave, you can't talk to every car owner he ever drove for because, you know, as is typical of a lot of sprint midget guys, you know, you end up with a lot of different rides and Silver Crown cars too. So we couldn't just pick one mechanic or we couldn't go with all the mechanics and all the car owners. So I had an idea of saying, let's just take one car owner. And we settled on Galen Fox because, you know, they won their first, Dave's first USAC championship with the Silver Crown car in 97. I wanted one mechanic, and it made sense that it was Jeff Walker because although Walker is a car owner, he's also a mechanic, and he's the guy that Dave has so far won the most USAC sprint car races with. And then we had his sisters involved, and, you know, we couldn't just settle on one there. We had to have all three involved, which was great. And we wanted to get one competitor, and it's hard to pick a guy who's still active because you don't know how broad a perspective you're going to get. You know, a lot of times a guy can retire and kind of step back and take a better view of the people he raced with. So we thought Hewitt was a great choice for that. So I just tried to get one of every category, and obviously Brenda Darlin too, and then we wanted Brenda Dave's wife, obviously, and we wanted someone to take kind of a view of Dave from a historian's perspective, and we settled on Pat Sullivan, who's a great announcer throughout the Midwest here, but, you know, specifically in Indiana, has known Dave for years. And Pat, as you know, and as most people know, I think, kind of has a nice way of taking a long view on things. And, he's able to put things into context and into a historical perspective. So he was the last voice we had in the book besides Dave's because I wanted to have somebody kind of try to place him in the big, you know, in the big picture as far as the history of, you know, sprint midget racing and Silver Crown racing over the years.
Bones Boshier joining us with his new Dave Darlin book, which is available through Coastal 181. If you look them up online, you'll be able to order the book, and it's available now. And Bones, it's kind of a funny story. As soon as I put out that you guys were doing the book on Sunday, the first person that contacted me was Tom Schrae from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. He was already going to get together to make sure they had it. So I know that's in the works, too.
That's funny.
It is. And what's kind of ironic, I think, too, is with Jeff Walker, I haven't gotten to that chapter yet, but you not only got one of his car owners, but you got the car owner of one of his biggest rivals.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Tony Elliott and Jeff mentioned it in there that he's kind of amazed that he and Darlin got together at all because for years Tony Elliott drove Jeff's car, to a lot of success. And Jeff was a driver before that. I mean, the three of them were, young rivals at Warsaw Speedway back in the old days and at Kokomo and at a lot of different places. And Jeff eventually drifted toward mechanicing and car owning and. When he put Tony Elliott in the seat, I mean, for years, that was the big rivalry at Kokomo and everywhere they went, really, was Darlin versus Elliott, and you could throw Kevin Thomas into the mix, too. But when Walker and Darlin did finally team up in 05 and 06, they were just tremendous. And then they got back together again in 2012 and won something like 14 races that year. So they were always a magic combination. They've always been great friends. I wasn't sure how well they got along when Elliott drove for Walker, but I asked both of them, and they got along famously. You know, they never let whatever on-track battles Tony and Dave had get between their own friendship. And honestly, Tony and Dave have gotten along pretty good, too. As Dave points out, they've had a couple of, rocky points over the years, which you would expect for two guys that battle for that many years for wins and championships. But they do get along probably better than most people in the grandstands figured they would.
How was doing this book different than some of the others like Tony's or Bentley's or someone else? What was different about doing this book?
One thing that really startled me about Dave, I've known Dave for a long, long time and all those guys really, but until you sit down with a guy and start taping these long interviews, you don't always, you're not sure how good their memories are. You're not sure what kind of storyteller they necessarily are going to be. I'm still startled at how good Dave's memory is. I mean, we talk about races from the 80s and early 90s, you know, some of his earliest successes, and even races that he dropped out of were all I might have had on my list of, you know, research, on, you know, my list of statistics was, you know, Gigi, you know, you hit the wall 30 laps into this race, do you remember what happened? And not only did he remember it, but he remembered everything in fine detail, and it was, I don't think I've ever dealt with another driver whose recall was that good. And, you know, you go back and you check these things after he tells you the story, because you don't want to, you know, get in the box of having the guy tell you something that's wrong. It doesn't make him look good and it doesn't make me look good. But I'd go back and try to follow up on those stories, and he was right every time. And, you know, as long as I've known Dave, I never knew that about him. And that was a pleasant surprise. And one thing that wasn't a surprise but made it a lot of fun is that he's got a great sense of humor. I mean, Dave's kind of on the quiet side, and I think a lot of people miss it about him, but he's really, really funny. So it made getting together for all these, you know, marathon interview sessions a lot more pleasant. You know, I kind of always left there laughing.
I know you've known Dave forever, it seems like, and you've spent a lot of time with him, even before the book. So did you actually end up learning something about him through this process? Not to give anything away in the book, but did you actually learn anything new about him? Or was it pretty much stuff that you already knew, you just had to get it all put together for the book?
Nothing that was really new. Just a lot of things that I thought I knew about him were amplified a little bit, like how funny he is and like how close he is with his family. And by family, I mean with Brenda and their kids and with his sisters. And, you know, his mom and dad have passed away, but I mean, you can tell that the whole family was extraordinarily close, just by the way Dave talks about them. And, you know, I knew that before. I think everybody kind of knows that about Dave, but I'm not sure I knew to what degree, that was true. So I don't, you know, to answer your question, I really don't know if there was any big revelation, but there were a lot of things that were, either, you know, confirmed or clarified for me a little bit, maybe. And, you know, again, I just had a lot of really nice impressions of Dave overall. It was just one of the most enjoyable projects I've ever worked on, really.
And fan reaction so far. Obviously, you know, the guy's nickname is the People's Champion. So obviously, reaction's not going to be bad to this thing. What have you thought with 1 weekend of fan reaction? Were you a little bit overwhelmed about what you expected? You know, how have you been? What's been the feedback from readers that bought the book? Okay, it's only been out a day, but people that you met at Kokomo on Sunday.
Well, actually Saturday was Kokomo and yesterday was Lawrenceburg, but we couldn't go wrong, you know, having it come out at Kokomo. I mean, that might have, it was almost like cheating because, you know you're going to get the home crowd in it, and that was great. I mean, well, when I got there, Dave had gotten there earlier than I did, but there was a big line of people, as I mentioned, you know, waiting for him to start signing and you know, just the little stories that people told. We had a couple people from Australia, a couple of more people from England, which, you know, doesn't necessarily testify just to Dave's popularity, but to the popularity of Indiana Sprint Week that these people make annual, and every one of them said, you know, I come every year for this. So that was nice, and that they were Dave Darlin fans too. But for the local folks and, you know, the regional Darlin fans, it was, it's neat to see the way he interacts with people, whether they were 5 years old, you know, he might kind of tousle a little kid's hair or, you know, talk to some of the older fans, or, you know, he seemed to know a lot of them by name, which, you know, you would imagine would happen at your home track. But, you know, you're right, that People's Champ thing isn't just a nickname that somebody put on a T-shirt. I mean, people love the guy. When he set the track record, you know, I thought it was a big ovation. But when he won that race, and it was a thrilling enough race that, you know, I think any real race fan would have applauded it no matter which way it came out. But, you know, again, he lost the lead twice, and the last time he lost it was on the last lap, and for him to regain it going into three and come around and take the checkers, I mean, the place just erupted. And, you know, Kokomo isn't the biggest track in the world, but it reminded me a lot of the night when Daniel Osowski won his first Knoxville Nationals, you know, back in, I think it was 98. I was there that night, and the place went nuts. You know, there's something about a guy winning a major event at his home track. You know, Darlin won the Kokomo Smackdown last August, I guess it was, and that was huge too. But this was kind of extra special because, you know, I think a lot of his fans came out specifically for the book signing event and obviously stayed for the race, and it just gave them, you know, one more night, one more thing that made it a Darlin night was him winning that feature.
So now you have this book. It's out. You can buy it. So what's next for you? We know Dave's going to go on to Indiana Sprint Week and chase the USAC Sprint Car win record. But for you, what do you think your next big book project's going to be? Do you have something in mind? And how do you approach what you're going to do next? Do you toss around a bunch of ideas and maybe think of just pick one? Is it publisher-driven? How do you come to that conclusion?
They're ideas that I have myself, but I do run them past Lou Boyd and Kerry Stratton at Coastal 181 because obviously, you know, you can have all the ideas you want. If the publisher doesn't agree, it's not going to make any sense. But you know, most of the time we do kind of, it seems like our thoughts run in parallel. I'm not sure what the next project is going to be for sure. I'm kicking around a few ideas, but sometimes when you just, I mean, we just got done with this one, you know, obviously it just came out, but I mean, we got done writing it just, you know, a matter of weeks ago. So I haven't really had a lot of time to sit down and think of what's next, but I suppose I ought to do something. I still do a lot of magazine work for Speedway Illustrated, and, you know, it's a nice time right now between projects to kind of get caught up on some of the magazine work and do a little bit more for them. But, I imagine before too long, I'll, start scribbling some notes and start another book.
Mons Rush here, joining us on the line. And, of course, Dave Darwin, the People's Champion of Racing Life, and you can get it at Coastal 181. What are all the outlets that people can get it at if they're interested?
Well, Dave and Brenda will be selling them at races. I mean, like most sprint car people, they've got, you know, their line of merchandise and memorabilia, like they sell T-shirts and the stuff that all the open-wheel guys seem to do, and Coastal181.com obviously will be carrying the book. I believe they're going to carry it at the Sprint Car Hall of Fame in Knoxville. We've got a few other outlets that are, you know, that the folks at Coastal are working with to carry the book. You know, if somebody walks in, can see it in different museums or speed shops and things like that. But to be honest with you, I don't have a list of them in front of me at the moment. But Coastal181.com or see Dave or Brenda at the racetrack, and I'm sure they'll have a box of them handy with them.
And I can tell you from personal, this is a personal vouch, because this is the first book they've ever sent me. Oh, no, second one of his they've ever sent me, but I bought all the rest of them. And once you buy one, you're going to want to buy more. Just personal endorsement there.
Nice. The Coastal people are great. I mean, they've got, they might be, you know, we were thinking about this not long ago, they just might be America's biggest seller of oval track books. And I mean, it's mostly online. Lou does travel a lot to different racetracks and they set up displays, but they're a fairly small operation, but with an incredible inventory. I mean, videos and some of the old classic racing movies, you know, To Please a Lady and Winning and movies like that. I've every time I run into those guys, it seems like I'm walking away with another tape or another book to read. So, they're great people and they've done a lot, not just for the nostalgia movement in racing with some of this historical type stuff, but a lot of their present day books are wonderful. And I don't say that just because they happen to publish my books. They're great people to work with.
Yeah, I've just actually kind of gotten acquainted with them probably in the last 4 or 5 years, it seems like. And you're right, it's just a tremendous inventory of books. And, man, it's been too long since we've caught up, too. We're going to have to catch up at a race pretty soon because it's been years since you and I've talked. But I'm glad we had the opportunity to because it's a neat project. Like I said, normally I'd have it all knocked out, but I just got it literally as I was dark-eyed and bloodshot-eyed home from the King's Royal on Sunday. So I wasn't quite in shape to finish it. But so far I'm reading it. It's a great read, and I can't wait to finish the rest of it tonight. Full disclosure, I probably will finish it tonight. I might not. Back to the bloodshot eye things, but I really appreciate you taking time to join us, and we need to catch up at a short track race pretty soon.
Well, I'm sure we'll do that this summer. It'll be great.
All righty. And Coastal181.com for the book. Bones Worshier, thank you very much.
Thank you, TJ.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to J.R. Stewart. We're going to preview the Mike Ulrich Memorial. It's coming up at Crystal Motor Speedway. We're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic pick. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And for this next segment, we bring in a co-host for going in the co-pilot seat with me, Trevor Hollis from the Crystal Motor Speedway. Also has done some announcing with the Michigan Traditional Sprints and various other venues all across Michigan. All, and also this year at I-96 Speedway. Almost missed that. He's a two-night-a-week announcer. So, Trevor, thanks for taking time out to join us tonight.
Oh, thanks, TJ. It's a pleasure coming on. I listen to your podcast every week. It's neat to be on it and talk some sprint car racing with you.
Yeah, you'll probably skip this next segment because I don't even like listening to my own voice when I do this. So it's kind of like, oh, man, I got to skip this. But also joining us on the line is a driver that is currently second in the K&L Ready Mix National Racing Alliance point standings. Veteran driver from Belle Fountain, Ohio, J.R. Stewart, joins us on the line. J.R. is going to be making his way up to Crystal Motor Speedway this week with the National Racing Alliance. And JR, it's going to be good to have you back up north, man.
Yeah, no, I haven't been up there in a while. I used to run with the Sod Boys quite a bit since I've been hooked up with Ron Hammond. Before with my stuff, I never really chased a championship. But, of course, Ron obviously focuses on that. So we pretty much do the NRA deal. But it's nice to get up there when we have a co-sanctioned points race.
Well, JR, you probably don't get a lot of opportunities running down there in Ohio. You have so many good quality cars down there. What are you expecting to come up into the Glove State to see? Basically, I know you get a little bit of Butler, maybe Crystal. Hopefully, maybe this year we'll see you at I-96. Tell us about the difference in racing between Ohio and Michigan's racing.
We do have a lot of great cars with the NRA, but we can go up and run Mossad. Same boat, they've got 7 to 10 cars that can win every week, it's kind of like we do. So the competition's always stout anytime you go up there, and they run those tracks a little bit more, those guys up there. So not that they really have an advantage at that aspect, but they're more used to the place. They know what the dirt's going to do throughout the night, if they're going to take rubber or not, so that helps them a little bit. So we definitely are going to have a work cut out for us, there's no doubt about that.
JR, you've gotten hooked up with Ron Hammond. You've been driving him for him for a few years, and I've known Ron for years. He's a really good guy, but what is it like to drive for Ron? He's kind of an entertaining, big personality on his own, so what is it like to have him as a car owner, especially as someone who used to race against him?
It is never a dull moment with Mr. Hammond, I'll tell you that. He is like your best friend, and when I say that too, he's not afraid to chew your ass when you're not running good. But he'll also pick you up, if you're like, we've had a couple weeks here, we haven't done what we wanted to do, but he's always got our back. He just, as long as we're having fun, it doesn't matter. That's all that he really focuses on with his racing. Obviously he wants to win races too. That's why we're out there. Don't get me wrong, but as long as we're having fun and everybody's, getting along and we're all doing good, he's just a blast to race with, man. It's just like a big party.
J.R. Stewart joining us. Trevor, I know you had some more questions for him as well.
Yeah, J.R., you guys, a lot of people have talked over the past at least, past 3 to 5 years about the declining car counts. And you guys down in Ohio, especially the Ohio, Indiana guys, you guys have been seeing some of the highest car counts that I can ever remember. Not uncommon to have 30-plus cars at any given night. Talk about the level of competition. As the car counts come up, how does that level of competition rise in accordance with that?
Okay, it seems to increase every year. It gets harder and harder to win races. I know we do a weekly deal at Limeland, and it's tough to win a race there, I'll tell you that. I've been running there a long time, so we know what the track's going to do every night. But still, the quality of cars that are coming in with us every week, I think, is going up every week. I've been lining them in. Honestly, guys probably has about 15 cars that can win any night. So the competition level is outstanding. It's tough. It is a tough deal. We are very fortunate to be hooked up with Ron. That's another thing with racing with him, is you pretty much have no excuses because he'll provide you with whatever you need to go out and win races. So, if you're not getting the job done, it's definitely on you. So, and there's a lot of the car owners like that with the NRA that are doing that.
JR, another interesting twist to your program is you have a full-time teammate. You have pretty much for the duration, the past couple of years with Ron. But this year, it's a kid that's barely out of high school if he's not out of high school yet. Max Stambaugh, one of the young guys you've had on the show. What is it like to have someone that young as your teammate?
Oh, it's fun, you know. Max is a great, great kid. His crew chief, Jody Long, crew chief for Darren Long for a long time. So him and I sit down, we all share notes together. I mean, I've got an open notebook, all the setups I've had at Flying the Land, and I actually learned quite a bit from watching Max because, you know, he'll run some of our setups that we used to run, but he's got a different driving style, and I learned stuff from watching him because he's, how do I want to say this, like he's not afraid to try stuff. You know, he just doesn't know any better, so he's going to go for it. And I've actually learned a lot from watching him. So it kind of keeps us fresh, to be quite honest with you, because he's been kicking our butt the past few weeks, so it's getting us on our game. But it's nice to have somebody like that, and his whole family is really cool with us, and we can all sit down and talk about what the race cars are doing and kind of lean on each other for advice. And, you know, I'm not afraid to go up to Max. I mean, he's only 18 years old, you know, but hadn't had a lot of laps, but I'm not afraid to go up to him and ask him what he thinks the track's going to do and what he's seeing. So he's got, like, fresh eyes, you know. So I think it's actually an advantage for us having somebody like that on the team.
What do you think of the youth movement across the sprint car racing community? Guys like Max, up here in Michigan, we got guys like Chase Rittenhour, you know, just some of these young guys that are coming up. What do you think of the youth movement? What do you think of the way that the sport is going towards these younger drivers, even across the country, guys like Rico Abreu and some of the young guys that are really, really making a name for themselves?
I think it's great. I mean, it wasn't too awful long ago. I was that guy trying to make it, you know. I'm an old dude now. You know, but a lot of these guys, the way I see it with putting the young guys in the sprint cars and stuff, if you have racing experience, then I'm all for it. If you have somebody that's never ran laps in anything and you try to throw them in a sprint car, then that doesn't make sense. But if you got a guy that's raced go-karts or quarter midgets or whatever, you know, mini sprints, and they're moving up and they're young and but able to get into the sprint cars, then by all means, let's do it.
J.R. Stewart joining us. And J.R., one thing about this weekend, it's one of several SOD NRA co-sanctioned events. And these races on their own bring plenty of good cars, but you put these two entities together, and it's like putting a cat and a dog in a kennel together. And it's just a knockdown, dragged out deal. And you guys, it's kind of interesting because the groups are pretty evenly matched and stuff, but as a team, do you have to prepare differently for these SOD NRA shows mentally a little bit because you know you're going to have more good cars at them?
It's not really. We kind of do our same thing every week. You know, we got the same goals every weekend, but you got to be on your game because you can lose so many points. They're all full point shows, and you bring so many cars in, you know, and you can have a really good team and not make the show. And if that happens, it puts you so far back in the championship standings. So we definitely are aware of that. The heat races are so important, especially with you guys doing the passing points because we don't do that. So that's a completely different deal for us. So we're focusing a lot on just those 8-lap heat races, believe it or not, just to get a good starting spot for the A. And the way I see it, as long as I can put it in the show, we'll be all right. We got 25 laps to figure it out. So, but you can get behind the 8-ball so bad if you're not good at the beginning of the night. So, you know, our focus is from out of the box, we've got to be good every single night to be able to be competitive and race up there.
How does that passing points change your approach to the night, JR? I know a lot of racers are definitely creatures of habit, yet you guys come up and run some of these co-sanctioned SOD shows, and you guys have a whole different format for me for your starting position and where you're going to go into the feature. Does that change the way you approach the night even before you unload the car, your mindset going into the race?
It doesn't mind, really. You got to be aware of it. So you know what's going on throughout the night. But it's not rocket science, man. You get out on that racetrack, you go as fast as you can, you pass as many cars as you can, and where it ends up, you know?
Jared, this Saturday is going to be the Mike Ulrich Memorial, and Mike was always a very well-liked official in the SOD realm, and I'm sure you kind of shared that too, because you probably dealt with Mike quite a bit at various races throughout the years as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Dan, you know, really enjoyed racing with Mike, having him as an official, definitely a guy I could call a friend, you know, when I was running a lot of SOD races and stuff, Mike was always around, and, you know, his kids, it was time to T-shirts and stuff. I always give him shirts and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely missed, and that's a pretty tough deal, really.
And one final question for you. Your bunch is probably the king of pranks of sprint car racing in the area, and some of the best ones I've ever seen are a product of your crew. So of all the pranks, I've seen you hide cars and do all kinds of stuff, like spare cars, literally hide a whole car. What's the most memorable of all of them that you could think of that you could actually tell us about on the air?
I mean, keep it legal, I can't tell a whole lot, but definitely the night we sold Dustin Daggett's car, that was pretty fun.
That was...
We did it a few pits away from him. We had a night at Wayne County before the A-Main, we took Mike Dussel's wing off his car and hid it in our trailer. And that kind of freaked them out a little bit, but I think one of the biggest ones, I think, was in Canada. It was at Off Weekend in South Buxton, running with Saw. Late one night, we toilet papered Darren Long's truck, just completely. You couldn't see the truck by the time we were done. And the next morning, his crew came out and found it, and they stuffed all this toilet paper in the vents. Every vent in our motorhome was stuffed full with it. And we didn't know it, so we just take off down the road, and all at once behind us, it's like a snowstorm. All this pieces of toilet paper flying off of it. So, of course, the police called on us. Somebody on the highway saw this and called the police. We get pulled over. But the guy was actually a really cool guy. We told him we got pranked, you know, didn't know about it, and he even helped us clean it up. So, I mean, there's been so many of them, it's hard to say.
I was there to witness the hiding of the car, and the most amazing part of that to me was how long it took them to realize the car was gone.
I would try to be obviously pretty sneaky about it, but, you know, you gotta be careful who you do it with, too, because some guys might get a little upset about that one. But, you know, and like the night we did that to Darren, we tried to come home that night after South Buxton. We actually won the feature that night, and they took axle grease and greased our windshield wipers, had toothpaste on the door handles of the motorhome when we went to leave. I mean, so it... What goes around comes around. We've been paid back pretty well, too.
All right. Well, JR, we really look forward to seeing you this Saturday night, Crystal Motor Speedway, SOD and NRA together at Crystal. And, JR, it's always great when the two groups get together, especially at Crystal. And we're really looking forward to seeing you and the rest of the NRA drivers up here in Michigan.
All right, man. I appreciate it. It's definitely going to be a good show. I promise you that.
All right, J.R. Stewart, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we have some breaking news on the other side of the break. We'll come back with that, and also Trevor and I will break down the SOD NRA show. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live at racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kinnon, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Breaking news right here on TJ Slively's Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Sources have told us just now, we'll keep the music going. The big news coming up, just coming to us from sources close to the situation, that NRA point leader Randy Hannigan will be suspended for the next two races. Randy Hannigan suspended for two races by the National Racing Alliance. Of course, what happened to do this? We do not know at this time. There are sources very close to the situation that have informed us. We are working on getting more information on TJSlideways.com to find out what is going on. But unfortunately, very good sources on TJSlideways.com to us reporting that Randy Hannigan, NRA point leader, will be suspended for the next two National Racing Alliance's event, which one of which is this Friday at Lima Land and Saturday at Crystal Motor Speedway. So Trevor, the defending race winner at Crystal Motor Speedway, suspended for Saturday's race. Your thoughts?
Crazy. Shocking. These situations where nobody knows what happened always make a lot of room for speculation, which I think both of us will agree neither of us will get into. But yeah, from a point of view of the PA announcer and the promoter of the track, you know, for the last all season, I've been plugging that show, and one of my selling points has been, you know, can one of the local guys dethrone Randy Hannigan, the two-time race winner? And obviously, we're going to have a new winner on Saturday night.
And at this point, barring a kind of really weird situation on Friday, we just had the NRA point leader probably after Friday night on the show. So Randy had just taken the point lead back from JR over the weekend at Eldora Speedway. And this is just huge. I mean, the Dennis Yoakum team and everybody has been one of the top draws up here. And unfortunately, something was said apparently over King's Royal weekend. There had been some previous hostility between the two parties based on the banquet attendance and the trophy cup, which were set on the same weekend, and also some problems as well with the recent reschedule of the Run for the Rabbit, which has been rescheduled during the 360 Nationals, which obviously Hannigan was probably planning on going to the Knoxville 360 Nationals. At this point, no further information, but Randy Hannigan likely to be suspended for two races, sources tell us, close to the situation, and I don't think you can get much closer than the source that just told me for the next two races. So moving beyond that, Trevor, this has become an event in the summer. It was kind of a stop in the sod tour. It might have been a little light on cars and stuff. It's now to turned into kind of the must-see sod race of the trio, really, with sod and NRA up there at Crystal.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think the last 2 years that we've had it, we've had over 30 cars each night. And you're absolutely right. This middle of the year show, you know, kind of in the dog days of summer a little bit, guys have either used up their equipment or they're picking and choosing where they're going to race. And, you know, a lot of guys up until recently, you may be even choosing to race with other series. But in the last couple of years now with the NRA stepping up and co-sanctioning it with SOD, it really, you're exactly right. Instead of people trying to figure out races nights they're going to take off, they're thinking about what they're going to save for this show.
And another neat aspect is we're coming off of the Kings Royal weekend. Of course, Dustin Daggett winning the NRA portion of Saturday night's Kings Royal. So we have Daggett, who's been running well, Ryan Rule, that's running well, and then you have guys like J.R. Stewart and all those guys coming. It's going to be really a clash of the best, and this might be the best opportunity we've seen for a sod driver to win this event.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think momentum is going to be huge for Dustin Daggett coming off arguably one of the bigger wins of his career, running in front of, I don't even know, you were there, did they announce the attendance at Eldora on Saturday night?
Yeah, right, okay, next topic. yeah, I think there's probably two people that know that number, and one of them's not going to be me, but it was definitely in the five-figure area.
Yeah. Well, regardless, you know, running in front of that many people, he's going to carry so much momentum into this weekend. And Dustin's always been dominant at Crystal. You know, he's got so many feature wins there over the last 5 years that he's always going to be one of the favorites to win he'll probably be there right until he decides that he's going to take some time off. So it's exciting.
The guy that has been the primary challenger lately, Ryan Rule, has been going very well this season. He was leading sod points up until the rainout at Merritt Speedway where they got show-up points. He wasn't actually even planning on going there. He was at a wedding, so unfortunately missing out on that. But Ryan's still in the hunt of things. He actually beat Daggett at Hartford and has led him on two different occasions here at Crystal, and it'll be interesting to see if Ryan can seal the deal on Saturday and finally pick up that Crystal win.
Yeah, you know, with guys like Ryan Rule, I don't know, you probably know a lot better than I do, but even guys, Jared Hortzman's been up there the last couple of years, and he's been awfully fast. Ryan Grubal, I don't know if he's still planning on coming up. I did talk to him a few weeks ago, and he still had his stuff, but he really hadn't committed to anything. But usually we get a great deal of cars, and even guys, of course, Brett Mann, he's been known to win a feature or two at Crystal.
Yeah, and he's a guy that if we didn't mention his name on the air, would let us hear about it. So,
right, true.
Yeah. But on the NRA side, we see guys like Jared Horseman, and there's a lot of other guys too, Bo Stewart, and some other guys that are really competitive in that series. Todd Heuermann, other guys, and talking to a lot of the NRA contingent, this could be one of the largest fields of NRA sprint cars that have come up to the Crystal Motor Speedway to participate in this race. So, I expect to see right around probably 34, 35 cars on Saturday. It's going to be a heck of a program. And if you make this show, you're going to accomplish something.
Yeah, you're going to earn your start in the feature event come Saturday night at Crystal. That's for sure. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So, Trevor, how have things been going up at Ron's Palace of Speed there in Crystal, Michigan? How are things going up at Crystal this year?
Excellent. We've had a great year. You know, I unfortunately Mother Nature kind of beat us up a little bit on Saturday night. Me and Ron were actually riding in the truck together, packing the track, when the skies opened up, and I had a good opportunity to talk with Ron about the year, and he couldn't say enough good things about how the season's went so far. We've, knock on wood, had very few incidents with Mother Nature, and I refuse to say the R word, but we've had very few incidences with her, and we've had a great year. We've had great car counts. I think we're averaging the high 20s or high 120s in cars, and I'm sure that average is going to shoot up when we get those 30-plus sprint cars there on Saturday night.
Yeah, it should be a great program there, Crystal. And it's kind of a neat place. If you've never been up there, it's a good place to vacation. There's a campground right by the lake there and everything. And it's kind of a, you know, and what's interesting about Crystal is if you look at it population-wise, Montcalm County and right around where it's located is not exactly a densely populated area, but you guys pack them in every Saturday night. What brings people to Crystal?
You know what I think it is? I think it's consistency. I think it's consistency in the fact that you know what you're going to see. You're going to see good racing. And the other thing is the pace of the show. Having worked at other tracks with other series and now working at another track that is trying very hard to emulate Crystal, you know this as well as I, TJ, short of kids' rides in the middle of the show and your the SADA redraw, there is no downtime. The race before is pulling off in turn number three, and the next race is pulling on the track in turn number four at the exact same time. So we really pride ourselves on getting that show moving as quick as we can.
And you have to. You got 120 cars every week. You got to get it done. So it's by necessity. And I know for a fact, especially the past few years, they've done a really good job. They've done a great job. The competitors have done a good job, too, of keeping the program moving and stuff. And I've been out of there the past couple of years way earlier than I had been in years past. In fact, I was home before. You know, I don't hustle exactly home. I got to wait for a finish, get three interviews. I was still home before midnight last time, so that was pretty impressive. And promoters like Ron Flynn, there is not another one, because A, there aren't any other 7 foot tall promoters that I know, and two, he's a character, man. If you've never been to Ron's place, you not only have to go to Ron, but you have to meet Ron, because we don't have that many character promoters anymore, but Flynn is definitely one of them.
If you've never been to Crystal, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But some of the outfits that man wears, he's a walking American flag some nights. That's all I can say about it.
I'm not going to make the comparison. My head wouldn't be accurate. But but Trevor, if people are interested in Crystal Motor Speedway, where can they find more information?
Probably the best way, check out the website, crystalmotorspeedway.com. You can also, the Facebook page, there's a couple of them out there, but there's the official Facebook page out there that me and my co-announcer Roger Williams, we try our hardest to post results over the course of the night, but sometimes we get a little bit behind because we just don't have the downtime between shows as we talked about. But the website is going to have all the information on there, and there's this thing that a lot of people have seemed to forget about these days. It's called a telephone. And the website has the phone number on there, and Ron always is there, and if he's not there, he'll call you back. So if you have questions, you're thinking of coming up for the night, like you said, we do have some camping available right there at the track. There's no charge for camping. There never has been. As long as people respect it, there never will be, as long as Ron's involved. And it's a great time. It's a great time. You can go to the lake during the day and come watch the racing at night.
And one other thing, it's a great place to camp. They have a dump station there and everything. It's a nice place to camp as well. And Trevor, you're going to be flying solo on Saturday because Roger's going pavement racing. I mean, come on, really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That's what? Why? I mean, just, you know, I think I drove him away.
I will never. I'm sorry.
I think I drove him away.
I will never be able to look at him the same.
I know. It's just kind of weird that he's got not even sprint cars. It's like a pavement stock car show at Owosso. I mean, so we're going to have to give him no shut up, Roger. So you get Trevor flying solo on Saturday night. And Mike Strievel will be up there as well at the sprints on dirt. So, but Trevor, looking forward to coming back. I haven't been to one of these SOD NRA shows at Crystal. I've always been on assignment elsewhere. And luckily, as soon as my schedule freed up this week, that was the first thing I added to it was this event because I've been trying to get to it. So I'm looking forward to taking it in.
You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
All right. Well, Trevor, thanks for taking the time out to join us, and we'll probably have you back a little bit later in the year. We'll talk some more racing.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, TJ.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to break down our the last bit of coverage we had of the 31st Annual Kings Royal. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Cade on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic tickets. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. No, we have a second breaking news story right now. Just released by Peterson Media. Actually, I'm sorry, Inside Line Promotions has announced that Sammy Swindell is leaving the Outlaw Tour full-time this season. Sammy is going to be at Knoxville for the next couple of weeks. From Inside Line Promotions, that the Big Game Tree Stands driver Sammy Swindell will shift his focus to the famed Knoxville Nationals for the next several weeks. Swindell and the Big Game Tree Stands team will compete at Knoxville Raceway in Knoxville, Iowa, the next two Saturdays prior to the 54th annual FVP Knoxville Nationals presented by Casey's General Stores, August 6th through the 9th. And there's quotes from Swindell in the release. So Sammy Swindell is going to shift his focus away from the World of Outlaw Tour for the next 2 weeks. He's going to run at the Knoxville Raceway during their weekly programs for the next couple of weeks. So, wow, huge breaking news right here during the live show. So that changes complexion a little bit of an already tough weekly program at the Knoxville Raceway. Sammy looked very sporty on Friday night at the Kings Royal on his way to victory. And obviously Swindell feeling more than likely he is not far enough into the points race to continue chasing the points with the World of Outlaws. I'm not sure what else yet is behind the move, but we saw the press release just come in. So Sammy Swindell is going to be headed that's been quite a deal. Of course, with Sammy Swindell leading the Outlaw Tour, and then Randy Hannigan suspended. Sources close to the situation telling us that he is suspended for the next two National Racing Alliance races. On the happier note, if you go to Spartan Speedway, JoJo Hellberg, the most recent win, who's been on a tear lately, he's going to be at Spartan, and the Smith Motorsports team is going to field two cars there. So a little bit of happy news, but happy news for Knoxville people, and particularly Sammy Swindell fans. You'll get to see him the next two Saturdays before the Knoxville Nationals. Sammy Swindell focusing on Knoxville Raceway for the next 2 weeks. Well, we just returned from a visit to the Kings Royal, the 31st annual event. First thing I have to do is compliment the entire staff at Eldora Speedway. What an amazing event. It's not even like organization-wise, it's just incredible what they've done for the facility and how people and cars and everything just flow so much better with that many people on the grounds. It is absolutely amazing. And we did both days this year, Friday and Saturday at the Kings Royal, and that's probably something we're going to do for the near future. I don't foresee us not doing that at this point because the readers loved it. We're probably going to get into it deeper, do a little more writing, and spend actually even more time at the racetrack in 2015. We've already kind of had a little meet and greet about our coverage, which is between me and one other person pretty much right now. But I think I'm going to be spending maybe all weekend at the racetrack, even going to the Doty, because to get a feel and do more lead-ins, maybe even some live podcast or whatever we can, some pre-race podcast or whatever we can squeeze in. But we're working on some stuff definitely for the future there. And I think it was an amazing event. I personally thought Friday night's race was a little bit better than Saturday. Saturday night, though, was still exciting with that $50,000 to win. And Kerry Madsen, if you haven't listened to the post-race podcast yet from Saturday, make sure to check it out. The emotion Kerry showed to us, and it was even more emotional on stage for him for winning that race. And I had tweeted, it's hard to believe the kid that we saw in Speed Week from Australia was living with Donnie Moran, just struggling his way through trying to get to the next race, won the Kings Royal on Saturday night in impressive fashion too. I mean, just the way he was going around the top of the racetrack, and that was his seventh podium in a row. And that's just unbelievable in this day of sprint car parity to get seven podiums in a row if you're not named shots is pretty incredible. And what a show by him and Sammy on Friday. It was an excellent race. And congratulations to Dustin Daggett, too. He won the Friday program or the Saturday program with the National Racing Alliance with Hannigan winning on Friday. And we are going to have Dustin on the Saturday post-race podcast in a pre-race interview. We're going to talk about his Eldora win. He's out on vacation this week, and we didn't want to interrupt him. So he's off enjoying sand dunes with the family and camping. And we're like, you know what? We'll just catch up on Saturday. And we've had no lack of Dustin and Daggett interviews over the year, but this one will be special. We'll give him a few days, let it soak in, and so congratulations to the entire Mott Motorsports team and also to the 22H team as well. It's good for them. They got a win on Friday. And anytime the 360 guys can win in front of that big crowd, it's a big deal. So congratulations on everyone for a great Kings Royal and safe. Hardly any incidents at all during the Kings Royal weekend. We did several interviews during Kings Royal weekend, and we're going to kick things off with the Sovereign King for this year's Kings Royal, Shane Carson. joined us, and I got the pleasure of spending virtually the entire Friday night with Shane up in the booth and looking at amazing pictures. We exchanged pictures and stories and all kinds of stuff, and you get two people like to talk together, and it's just incredibly amount of fun, especially when we're passionate like we are about sprint car racing. And Shane sat down with us for a moment, and here's what he had to say on Friday night.
Good to have Shane Carson back here at Eldora Speedway. Welcome back, first of all.
Thank you. I love being here, and it's been a while. It's I come back here and look at it and all the things that they've improved with.
Danny Holger, we're here at the
Cares, which has been, it's been that long since I've been here. It's just amazing. If you haven't been to Eldora in the last 3 or 4 years, you haven't been here.
How amazing is it to think about what this place was like when you first came here and to what it's like now?
Well, that first time I was here, it was in 78, and it was just a center part. No other grandstands, seated maybe 5,000, and now what is it, seat 25? So it's just unbelievable the way it's stepped up. And you do that by, of course, you don't build things unless you really need them. And obviously they need them. If you look around here right now, wall-to-wall people, and it's Friday night. I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow night. Better get here early.
And on Saturday night, you get to go in front of this big crowd, and you get the honor of crowning the king on Saturday, which is a, there's been some pretty famous people who have done that, and you get to add your name to that list now as well.
Yeah, that's going to be big for me. I mean, I was here on that very first Kings Royal in 84, and we were, me and Steve were sitting up there on the stage together talking about it. Of course, he won, you know, so he's happy. He got 50 grand, but, you know, just looking at the way it's gone with the, you know, over the years, it's just been, it'll be pretty emotional, I'm sure, but I'll be looking forward to it.
And, you know, with this big of a race here, who are some of the guys that impressed you, that some of the newer names maybe that are coming into the sport that impress a Shane Carson that that you like to keep your eyes on at this point?
Well, I've been watching, you know, of course, some of them already came through so quick and moved on, like Kyle Larson and some, but you've still got a great field of rookies. I don't know that they're rookies, but I'll say that they're younger drivers. That Rico Abreu's here, Cole Duncan's running good. You got Holt Gravers will be right in the mix. You got Cody Dara and some of the younger guys. Of course, Darren Pittman, I've grown up watching him. I watched him grow up, you know, running the mini sprints that come up through there. So I'm loving that he's doing well. And Shane Stewart, there's two or three good Oklahoma cars running good here this weekend.
And when's the last time you were here? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was in 2010. I was running the Outlaw deal. So it's been 4 years since I've been here. So just looking at it and looking at the changes in 4 years, pretty impressive.
All right, Shane, well, it's great to have you here. And have fun crowning the king on Saturday.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Great to have Shane Carson on hand. It was neat to visit with him, and a pleasure, and I can't wait for an opportunity to do it again at Knoxville. And one of the young guys that has impressed me, and I've been trying to corner him, but we haven't been in the same place, is Travis Filo. And this is a kid that I saw, you know, I've seen quarter midgets and sprint cars, made the jump. It's a pretty big jump at that. And the first couple of years were exciting, to say the least, and but he's really turned the corner. Friday night, he outran Dale Blaney for the final transfer spot in the B main. Impressive performance by this young man, and he's been impressive all season. He's been picking up some feature wins in Northwest Ohio, so we wanted to chat with him. Here's what Travis Filo had to say.
We have with us a gentleman that I've seen come up through quarter midgets at the Rumble Series and now all the way up to sprint car racing now. And Travis Filo, it seems like over the past couple of years, you've really made some steps forward, some huge steps, and you're running up front now. What has been the biggest change that's maybe helped you get up front?
I guess the biggest thing for me is when I first started, it was a lot different from quarter midgets. It was a huge step, and I was overly aggressive, I would say, and I think I've calmed down in the last couple of years, and I've got a lot more mature behind the wheel, so I think that's definitely helped.
And one thing also, you seem to have gotten very comfortable here. You've been running well, and last night getting that final transfer spot from Dale Blaney.
Yeah, I love running here. We finally got at the end of the year, we bought a motor from CJB, and it's really helped us here. So I'm getting more comfortable here. You just need laps, so.
And, you know, mechanically, have you learned a lot about the car that's helped you, too, over the past couple of years? Or is it mainly just stuff behind the wheel that you had to improve on?
Yeah, I mean, we've had these Eagle cars now for 2 years, and we've getting them figured out now, too. So we're in good shape.
So what's the plan for the rest of the year for you after tonight, if all goes well?
We're going to continue to follow the fast deal, and then we're going to hit as many all-star shows and outlaw shows as we can when we're not racing the fast deal. So,
any plans of maybe going to Knoxville or anything like that?
Not this year. We're maybe looking at that for next year or the year after. I'd like to at least get out there once or twice before we try the Nationals, but it's in the near future.
Now, you've done this for a few years now. Where do you want to end up with this? What's the end goal, sprint car racing-wise, that you'd like to see yourself end up with?
I mean, obviously everybody wants to do it for a living. I'd love to be on the Outlaw Tour. I love doing this every day, and I wish I could.
And so right now, what do you do during the day to help pass the week?
I graduated from Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green there, south of Toledo, with a construction management degree. I'm an estimator for a construction subcontractor in Toledo. So.
And Warrior, do you have any hobbies away from the racetrack, away from this thing that keeps you busy, out of trouble?
Nah, this is it.
Well, Travis, best of luck tonight, and good run last night.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that was Travis Filo, and like I said, I look for big things out of this young man with the improvement he's made over the past couple of seasons. Danny Holgraver, we saw him win at Butler Motor Speedway earlier this year. He won the Speed Week event at Eldora Speedway, and he was on the post-race podcast earlier this year. We sat down again with him at the Kings Royal to look forward to what he has going on in Eldora and looking into Knoxville.
Danny Holgraver here at the Kings Royal, start of a big couple of weeks for you, not only the Kings Royal here, but a big race close to home coming up as well.
Yeah, we, it's a month of money now. We're getting into it here, so, we had a decent run last night and try and build off that a little bit for tonight, hopefully put her up front, and then head home to Lernerville for Tuesday for the Silver Cup. So, I'm definitely excited about that one. It'd be nice to get home.
You have to feel good coming into tonight because it seems like you have been going well, especially at the end of features here, all season. What have you found here? Is it something as a driver, maybe something in the car you found?
Well, definitely this place is just getting comfortable. Eldora is one of the toughest places you go to. It's intimidating, and, over the past year or so, I've just gotten really comfortable here, and I've had a good race car every time, so it just makes it nice, if we can have a little bit of luck on our side now and get to the front and go from there.
You approach it any differently with the extra 10 laps on the feature tonight?
I don't know, not really. I mean, you got to race smart and you got to be patient, but, these guys are all so good, and everybody's giving our 110% from the time we unload, so, it's just whatever. I don't know. See what happens.
And since we last spoke, it seems like you've been going really well after that win at Butler. Is it just a matter of just something, your luck changing, or just something you found?
Yeah, we've still been up and down. We got a couple wins, but we've also tore some stuff up, and just the smaller tracks we're struggling right now. Whenever we get on a big track, seem to be all right. So, and that's a good thing now is all the money is on the big tracks at this point in the season. So, hopefully we can keep that rolling. But keep working away and try and get a good package all together.
It's still the plan for the rest of the year, all going well. Keep following the All-Stars in town at the Knoxville?
That's our plan. Just keep racing, and then after Knoxville, whatever.
Now, are we going to see the family car out at all this year?
It's sitting at home, but I don't think we will. We have all the 10H stuff. Rob's given everything to us, and me and my dad work on it, and it's in our shop. So I don't really have time to do anything with the D4, but and he always says if we want to go race somewhere, local show or whatever, just go ahead and take it and race. And that's what we've done a couple times this year. So, I don't know. You never know, maybe towards the end of the season. But for now, being a 10.
One last question. Obviously, we're here at the Kings Royal, but with the Silver Cup coming up, what would it mean to you to be able to win that big race in your hometown area, so to speak?
Oh, that would be huge. We got closer a couple years ago, run second. Lynch has done it, Schaefer's done it, so it'd be cool to add my name to the list of local guys that have won it. It'd be unreal.
All right, Danny Holgraver.
So with Danny Holtgraver looking forward to tomorrow night's Silver Cup at Lernerville Speedway, he could be one of the contenders, man. That guy can step up, especially at the end of long races. Look for him to be a contender tomorrow night. The Kings Royal not only brings out surprises in the 410 class, but also in the 360s. We ended up with several East Coast travelers this year, one of which making their first start was Joe Trenka. Now, Trenka has actually seen Eldora from the inside. This was his first attempt driving. Of course, he got involved in an incident on Friday, destroyed a car. Unfortunately, came back for Saturday. Here's what Joe had to say about his first Eldora experience after Friday night.
Joe Trenka, first visit to Eldora Speedway, and it was going well until the accident, unfortunately. Let's talk about the night up until the crash. A little bobble in the heat, but then a strong comeback in the B main.
Yeah, you know, I just jumped a cushion down in 3 and 4, and I lost my momentum. And once you lose it here, it's kind of tough to make it up, especially with the 360s, a little bit smaller motor. So that kind of stinks, but we are really good in the B main. We made a couple good moves up around the 1 and 2 on the top side, and just I couldn't let them slide me on the bottom, and I know we had a really good start, a really good restart about lap 3, and I went to the outside, and the leader went to the bottom and tried to slide me, but I didn't have enough momentum, and I got up around the side of him, and we just kind of set sail from there, and we were excited for the feature. We fell back a little bit early in the feature, but then I went back to the top. There wasn't much up there, but you could keep your momentum up, and we started rolling, picking a few cars off, and then just got in that little incident and ruined a car, but we're ready for tonight and excited.
What was your first impression after Naya Racing? You know you crashed, but did you like Eldora? What did you think?
Oh, yeah, I love this place. I mean, I've been here a bunch of times, watched Kings Row probably 5-6 times. I've been here for 4 crowns with my grandpa when he races silver crown cars here. So I love the place. It's, I mean, just the atmosphere is so cool, and being able to race here, being so young, is really cool too. But even though the night didn't end like we did, like we wanted it to, it still was, I mean, I guess it was a good night. I've never turned laps here. We timed 13th quick and won the B main, so it's not too bad after, I mean, it's pretty stout cars in the 360 class. So we were happy, just wish the A main went a little bit better.
Yeah, and you mentioned you've been here a lot watching. A lot of guys that come out east don't have that that advantage, but you mentioned watching a lot. How different was it? Was it different than you expected it to be in the seat? Because it's always different watching, but did you have expectations of what it might feel like, and was it anything similar to what you thought it might be like?
Well, I know what the track looked like just from, I mean, I was always in the pits with my grandpa when he owned the team and stuff, so I knew what to kind of expect a little bit, but I didn't think we'd be running that close to the wall. It looks close in the stands, but when you're driving, you know the right rear is right there against the wall. That's it's kind of cool and nerve-wracking at the same time, but that's definitely probably the hardest part for me, was running that close to the wall and keeping it straight and not bumping the wall. But I really liked the place, and it was a lot more exciting than watching in the stands.
And what's the plan for the rest of the season, assuming all goes well tonight?
Well, we got 2 weeks off. We got a family vacation that we had to take, but that's fine. We've been racing a lot lately, so we got the next 2 weeks off. Then we go to Oswego for the Summer Nationals with the 360, and we're probably going to run the Outlaw Show the next day there. Then we just go down to Pennsylvania for a while, come back up home from New York shows, and then we got the Oswego Nationals at the end of the year, and we're going to come back to Eldora for the NRA race, I think, in October or something like that, and maybe a few more 410 shows towards the end of the year, and maybe the World Finals. Yeah, we're not sure.
All right, George Trenka going to be doing some 410 racing.
Also visiting us at the Kings Rail was Kurt Michael. It was hard to believe Kurt was making his first start at Eldora, and I thought he looked sporty, man. Kurt Michael looking good, but we've seen Sean before, but Kurt Michael making his first start, and here's what Kurt had to say about his first Eldora experience after Friday night's program.
Kurt Michael joins us, made his first start at Eldora Speedway last night, and what was your first impression?
That was pretty cool. I liked it. I don't know. Everyone said it was super fast, but we got some fast tracks in Pennsylvania and Jersey and stuff, but it was different, definitely different the way you have to run it.
And, people have expectations when they come to someplace new, what it might be like. Was it anything like the expectations? Obviously, you probably talked to enough people that you kind of knew what to expect.
Yeah, I kind of knew what to expect. The difference is, you got to have a lot of laps, I believe, to be really good here, to be able to run up on the wall like those guys do. We need more laps to be able to do that.
Yeah. And what's the plan, assuming all goes well tonight, what's the plan for you for the rest of the year?
Well, we go race by race, but we're just going to race whatever races we want to, if that's 360s or 410s. We got one motor of each, and we just go race to race and see what's the best ones that fits our schedule and go from there.
All right. Any chance of maybe going back to Oswego this year?
Oh, not really, I don't think. I mean, I'd like to, but the owner doesn't really like to race in Canada. He has had some bad experiences up there, so I don't think we'll go there. As good of a race as it is, I'd like to go to it, but I don't think it's in our plans.
And, do you think this is a weekend you might do with this team again, possibly, or another 360 show, or maybe even a 410 show sometime?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll come do 360s. 410s, I don't think so right now. We better just stick to Pennsylvania with that deal. But last night we were down a little in motors. We're trying to figure out and change some stuff. I think we could have had a better car even than the one we had. But I was happy just making the show. That was our goal when we got here.
All right, Kurt Michael looking for a better performance tonight.
So Kurt Michael, great to have him here. We've had Kurt at the Canadian Nationals, as you heard before, and other stuff, and we've crossed paths before, and it was really great to have him there. He's an enjoyable guy to hang out with. And another guy that's kind of outspoken on social media and whatnot, and who's been kind of, who I call as a social media star of sprint car racing, is Danny Dietrich, and he's a lot of fun. And he really enjoys coming out here to race, so we wanted to talk to him. Why does he enjoy coming out here to race, and what has his experience been so far? Here's what Danny Dietrich had to say.
Dietrich back in Ohio, and Dan, this is probably the most extensive Midwest tour and through Ohio and since your team has taken so far. Now that, that part of it's winding down with Speed Week and you're another trip to Kings Royal here, what do you think so far?
It's been a fun trip out here in Ohio. This Kings Royal race, we just had a little bit of bad luck last night. Can't get our motors to quite run where they need to be, but I think we got it dialed in here for tonight, and hopefully we can get set a good lap and finish this Ohio race and off good.
Ohio Speed Week, obviously grueling, but you guys seem to take it in stride and embrace the challenge and ran very well the whole week.
Yeah, I mean, these tracks out here are nice to race on. They're fun. They're small. We've got a lot of big tracks back home where you kind of get singled out and you follow the leader kind of racing where you can make 10 car lengths up here in Ohio in one lap. So as long as you if you make a lap, a bad lap, as long as you can gather it back up out here, you're all right. Back home, you make a bad lap, it takes you 5 to catch back up. So just a lot more fun, a lot more racier racetracks, and we enjoyed it a lot.
Now this place, how much of an eye-opener was this, and how long did it take you to kind of get a feel for it?
Well, we were here the second night of Ohio Speed Week, and it took a couple laps, but just one of the things, you got to keep your car real straight and keep it wound up pretty good, the motor, and just hammer down all the time.
You're a very active social media driver, and has that been a fun outlet for you, to interact with and stuff and to utilize?
Yeah, it gets the fans involved, and anytime you can get the fans involved, it gets them to the racetrack. You know, I got a lot of followers, and a lot of people that love watching us race, and it's a shame when we don't do well for them, but when you can keep them involved with your whether it be the internet or something involved at the racetrack, it's good for anything.
And do you think this is a trip you might duplicate next year with Ohio Speedway Kings Royal stuff, or is it too early to tell at this point?
We should be back. I don't foresee any reason why we wouldn't be. We're struggling here a little bit, but I don't think it's a team that's struggling. I think we just got to get our motor program a little better for a place like this, but we should be back without a problem. Definitely Ohio Speed Week.
And how's the fan reception been for you out here in Ohio?
Good. All the Ohio fans are great. Picked up a lot of new ones, and they were excited to see us come out along with the guy. The fans have followed us out from PA, and hopefully, like on a night like tonight, we can put a good show on for them.
All right.
Well, as we turn up the microphone again, there we go. So great to have Danny Dietrich there. I know it wasn't the results he wanted, but we really appreciate him coming out here. We always like drivers that come from out of town. We appreciate our racers very much, but when people come out to race with us in the Great Lakes area, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, we get really excited about it, especially us. Even me, just myself, pre-website, just being a race fan, I always got excited to see different guys show up at the racetrack. And one of the last interviews we did, we kind of like going behind the scenes a little bit in different guys, and Austin Wheatley's making his second tour around here. He did some Ohio Speed Weeks and PA Speed Week, and then back to the Kings Royal, and he's an enterprising young man, driver that's a son of a self-employed father, self-employed himself, getting a t-shirt business that seems to be booming right now off the ground. And here's what Austin Wheatley had to say about business, racing, and all things in between.
Austin Wheatley finishing up a little tour of Pennsylvania and points in between. And Austin, how has this trip gone for you so far?
It's gone all right. Not as well as I'd hoped, but we made about 75% of the shows. I thought we'd do a lot better in Ohio than what we did. That was kind of a frustrating week, but PA Speed Weeks went a lot better. Made every show but one. We were fairly competitive. Just got to qualify better. It's so important with every series you go to. So we're consistently missing it by 5 or 6 spots, and it's frustrating to be just that close to it. But there's definitely things that I can improve on with me personally and us with the car. But I think we're gaining on it, so I'm looking forward to tonight and taking the stuff we learned from last night and putting it in the show.
So what's the plan, assuming all goes well tonight, going forward the rest of the year?
Yeah, we are going to do tonight Kings Royal, and then we're going to fly home. I got some work stuff to do. My dad has some work stuff to do. And we're going to come back for the Ironman 55 Nationals. And we're really not sure what we're going to do after that or even if we can come back before Ironman. But Outlaw stuff, maybe some All-Star stuff, not really sure.
And one reason we saw you for a little bit and then you went home is to build this business up of yours. And how's everything going in the T-shirt business these days?
It's going well. It's going, I'd like to say it's going better than I hoped, but I had pretty high expectations for it just because I'm out here and I see what these guys want and what they need and the prices and everything. So I could kind of, you know, makeshift my company around what these guys need. And they've been pretty receptive to it. We just needed to get a couple bigger guys to get on board, but we've done a lot of clients this year, probably up over 50 or 60, so I'm pretty happy with it.
And, you know, is racing out in this part of the country something you want to look forward to maybe in years to come?
Yeah, no, I definitely, my goal would be ideally to be a full-time race car driver and as well having the T-shirt business because I really enjoy artistic things and I enjoy drawing and visual things, but I also enjoy the racing and the cars and everything like that. So to get the best of both worlds would be pretty sweet.
All right, Austin Wheatley finishing up this tour.
Right, man, we get to meet his family and his mom and everything over the weekend. Great people, and I can't thank everyone enough. Those were the interviews we could squeeze in. We did a bunch of stuff and talked to a bunch of people throughout the whole weekend. I want to thank all the teams that took time to give us information and whatnot, and take a moment for us to get things put together for this podcast and webcast and everything about the Kings Royal weekend. Everyone's forthcoming and the energy of that event. What's interesting? You know, sometimes a lot of our listener base probably goes to Eldora on a fairly regular basis. And what's interesting is we get to the Kings Royal and you get a lot of people that go once a year, or maybe I counted two people, one of which that has been on the show, Caleb Hart, and then also Mike Mallett from Dirt Track Digest, Dean Reynolds, who's been there before, but I believe this was his first Kings Royal from Empire Super Sprints, Jeremy Elliott from the Patriot News, all these people that aren't there that often. And they just couldn't believe, A, the improvement, or the facility itself, B, the racing, and C, the atmosphere. And it is a tremendous, it is a big race. It's probably, you know, Roger won't lie here, that's the second biggest sprint car race in the world next to the Knoxville Nationals. Probably, it might be the biggest single day. It is definitely the biggest single day event in sprint car racing. But it's just amazing. The energy in that place and now getting in and out is relatively easy. I had no problem with parking all weekend. No special parking privileges here. I park with all the rest of you. Got out every night, no problem. Got through the concession lines in timely fashion. I mean, with that many people, it's hard to, for race fans sometimes to grasp maybe, and even race teams, and unless you're actually in the middle of it, how many working pieces and cogs and things and people to make that thing work is just absolutely astonishing. So to everyone at Eldora Speedway, congratulations on a great Kings Royal weekend. It was epic, and I can't wait to do another one. And that's how we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. We are going to have more on the Randy Hannigan story. It has been confirmed. We called NRA officials. We called Bob Fricke. Bob didn't want to go on the record, obviously, because, and I respect this because it problems between drivers in the sanctioned body are between the driver and the sanctioned body. We did confirm it is, a two-race suspension for Randy Hannigan right now. And, you know, here's my take on it. Apparently it was something that was said over the PA system. I have a radio that I listen to and monitor the PA system the whole time I'm at Eldora during the races. Cause, if I'm watching something, maybe Gibson or Dustin Jarrett will cue me in on something I'm not looking at the other side of the racetrack. And in the box, there's a lot of chatter and you can't really hear the PA system that well. So I put the earpiece in. At that point I had pulled my earpiece out cause I didn't know they were going to interview second and third because I figured Randy had to get ready for the Kings Royal. So I had pulled my earpiece out and was actually working on typing up the full feature finish for first name, last name for the race story and finishing cleaning up Dustin's quote just from shorthand. And we had gotten that done and I heard they'd were interviewing Randy, but did not hear what was said over the PA system. So I have no clue what it was, but apparently it did not make Mr. Jarvis happy over at the UNOH and people over there and enough that they suspend him. Now, hopefully, I'm really hoping that Dennis Yoakum and those guys, maybe they can come to some way we can get him up to Michigan, because I know we were really looking forward to the Daggett Hannigan Showdown at Crystal on Daggett's turf. Maybe the strongest Dustin's been going into this race. Hannigan, of course, always tough. I mean, this was going to be a real showdown on neutral turf. We were going to have it at Berlin last year. Unfortunately, Hannigan missed the scales. Didn't get the full effect of it. This was going to be the full effect, so the fans are going to kind of lose out on this a little bit. But, I mean, you can't – I see it from both sides with some of the things that between NRA and Hannigan's situation. I can see both sides of it, to be honest. In this particular case, and it's not my problem, and I'm staying out of it personally, but I did call Bob Fricke, who's been on the show before, just for a moment, just for official confirmation. He is right now, as of right now, suspended for two races, but this should be a developing story throughout the whole week. Or Sammy Swindell also, going off to Knoxville for the next 2 weekends to prepare for the Knoxville Nationals. Busy Monday night. You can listen every Monday night at 8 o'clock PM Eastern here on TJSlideways.com or catch the podcast immediately following the show, and that's going to wrap up this edition of the live program. Thank you. Good night. We're going to see you at Crystal on Saturday night. We'll see you there. Thank you.
You're listening to TJSlideways.com podcast, brought to you by All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engine, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Must-See Racing, Oshweken Speedway, Open Wheel Extravaganza at Sandusky Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology.